move this out of the way here. Well, this morning, we'll give Andy a second here to get adjusted. Those of you who've been around a little bit know that I'm working my way through a series on the spiritual gifts, and this is sort of like part four, but it's kind of a parenthetical because I need to kind of back up and gather up some scattered pieces of things that I've said and build a little foundation, because in order to correctly understand how we can function in the gifts of the Spirit, how we can interact with the Holy Spirit, we have to understand who Jesus is and how he interacted with the Holy Spirit. It's a common failing amongst all of us that we want to justify ourselves. And what I mean by that is that we like to be comfortable where we are. We don't like to feel like we are lacking. We don't like to feel like maybe there's more that we could or should do, or we maybe should have a different relationship with the Lord, or things should be different than they are. We like to be where we are, unless we're in a real bad place and we don't like it there, but we like to feel comfortable. And if we can somehow, if we look at historical people and we go, oh, they're really special because they could do that, like one of the apostles, we say, oh, well, they were an apostle. We don't expect to be like them. They were somebody special. Or if we look at Jesus, and we've often said that Jesus is he's our model. We should try to be like Jesus. We aspire to be Christ-like. But how are we going to do that? I made a comment a few weeks ago that Jesus had the same tools in his toolbox that we have in ours. And I took you to a scripture and I talked about that. And a very astute person asked me, well, where else do you see this in Scripture besides this one's reference? And that's a good question, because if you're going to build a doctrine around something, it should be in Scripture more than one place. And so that's what this is. My goal here this morning is that I would be able to show you that Jesus functioned under the power of the Holy Spirit the same way that we can, and that we cannot say, oh, he did that because he's God and I can't because I'm not God. I want to show you how we have the same ability to interact with the Holy Spirit that he did. So let's talk about Jesus. And who was he? And how did he do things in his ministry? Now, I don't think that anybody here would argue that Jesus is divine, that Jesus is God. Christian orthodoxy has always proclaimed that Jesus is fully God and that he's fully man. I'd like to read to you a little excerpt from one of the historic creeds of the Christian Church. This is a piece of the Athanasian Creed. We've read the Nicene Creed and we've read the Apostles' Creed together, you know, congregationally. This one I didn't feel like putting it up to read the whole thing, and this is only a piece of it. This is the part of it that's talking about Jesus and his humanity and his deity. This is what it says. Now this is the true faith, that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and human equally. He is God from the essence of the Father, begotten before time. And he is human from the essence of his mother, born in time. Completely God, completely human, with a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father as regards divinity, less than the Father as regards humanity. Although he is God and human, yet Christ is not two but one. He is one, however, not by his divinity being turned into flesh, but by God's taking humanity to himself. He is one, certainly not by the blending of his essence, but by the unity of his person. For just as one human is both rational soul and flesh, so too the one Christ is both God and human. But now here's a question that our whole Christian walk hinges upon. As the God-man Jesus Christ walked on the earth and performed miracles, did he do it because he was God, or as a man functioning under the power of the Holy Spirit, as the old prophets did and as we can do? Now, how someone answers that question will determine whether they can aspire to be Christ-like. If Jesus loved his enemies because he was God, then I'm excused from loving my enemies because I'm not God. But if restricting his godness, that's a new word, I made it up, okay? If restricting his godness, Jesus the man had all the same weaknesses that we do, but he overcame by the filling of the Holy Spirit, then since the filling of the Holy Spirit is available to me too, then I can overcome and I too can love my enemies. Being Christ-like means being like Christ, both in our attitudes, our actions, and how we do ministry. So I want to focus in on how we do ministry today and see how Jesus did his ministry. But first, let's spend a little bit of time talking about how Jesus functioned as a man, not because he was God, but because he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And get your Bibles out, because we're going to flip around to a bunch of different places. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. I'm reading this time from the New American Standard. Most of the other times I read, you'll hear me read from the New King James. This is New American Standard. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Notice it said he emptied himself. And that's why I chose New American Standard. I think ESV also says that. A lot of the other ones say he humbled himself, or some other phrase like that. Emptying himself was humbling himself. But the thing I wanted to show you is that he emptied himself. He had the form of God. He was God. And he laid all that down to become a man. And he didn't even stop there. He didn't stop with an honorable man. He didn't stop as a king or a respected leader. He humbled himself to the lowest position. Great kings are always born in barns, right?
Yes.
And then he humbled himself further to be condemned as a common criminal and tortured to death when he could have walked away. He emptied himself completely. Let's turn to Romans 8. And verse 3. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus was sent in the likeness of human flesh. Let me ask you, though, how like our flesh was his flesh? Did he empty himself completely or only a little bit? Did he completely humble himself? He humbled himself more than I have. So his flesh was like our flesh. And he walked according to the Spirit, the same way we can. Let's turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:9, this is the, quote, main text for the sermon, if you want to write that down. Hebrews 2:9-18. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Notice in verse 11, it says that we are all of one. We're all of one flesh, one kind of flesh. He's not a different kind of flesh from ours. And verse 17, Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. In all things. Not just in some things, in all things. And he had to be made like his brethren, who is us, in all things, so that he could be the merciful and faithful high priest. If he did not do that, he could not have been the merciful and faithful high priest. Because that's the whole point of the high priest, is he can make intercession for the people because he understands their weaknesses, because he's one of them. See, as Jesus walked on this earth, he was God. He had the God card in his deck. But he never played it. And he still won the game. He won the game with the same hand of cards that we have. He had the God card slipped in there, but he didn't use it. He played with the hand that we have. And he won. But how did he do it? He went through a whole lot more temptation than we did. He had a whole lot more at stake than we do. He did it by his total dependence on his communion with the Father. Let's turn to John 5. John 5 and verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner." Notice he said he can do nothing of himself. If he did miracles by his God power, he would be doing it of himself. But if as a man by the power of the Holy Spirit, then any of us who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit could do that. He did it because he communed with the Father and he saw what the Father was going to do. He saw what the Father was doing, and he did it. It's like he saw the Father about to do something, and he reached out his hand and did it with the Father. So if I am tired of praying for people to be healed and they're not healed? Is it because I'm any of a lower classification of person than Jesus? No. I have the same Holy Spirit he had. Maybe it's because I haven't spent as much time with the Father to see what the Father is doing, to know when the Father is about to do. Jesus repeats this in John 5, in verse 30, if you go down a little farther. He says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." He can do nothing of himself. And again, if you go to John 8, in verse 28, he repeats it again. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Or you could go to John 12, chapter 49. John 12, verse 49. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. So in all those examples, it's not Jesus' own power or authority that he speaks, but because he communed with the Father by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, enough to hear what the Father was saying. See, when I've heard what the Father is saying, it's really easy to step out in faith. When I haven't heard and I'm trying to just step out in faith, it doesn't work too well. Notice in those examples, though, that he starts out saying, I can do nothing of my own. And then he goes on to talk about speaking. You know, he said, my judgment is righteous. He says, I can do nothing but what the Father says, and I speak those things. I think that's because a lot of times the work of God is accomplished by speaking a command. Jesus did a lot of his miracles by speaking. Sometimes he did other things. You know, he made the clay and stuck it in the man's eyes. You'll find that in your medical book, right, John? Okay, let's move on. Turn to John 14. John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Did you notice he said we were going to do the works that he did? And that we're going to do greater works than what he did? So let me ask you a couple of questions. Did he do it because he was God? How about, did Elijah, was Elijah God when he multiplied the bread and the oil for the widow of Zarephath and raised her son from the dead? Or was Elisha God when he multiplied the oil for the widow of a prophet or raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead? Or when he healed Naaman of his leprosy? Or was Peter God when he walked on the water? Or were Peter and John God when they healed the cripple in Acts chapter 3? Or was Peter God when he raised Aeneas and or healed Aeneas and then raised Dorcas from the dead in Acts chapter 9? Or how about Paul when he raised Eutychus from the dead after he fell out of the window? Which of the miraculous works of Jesus is there not also a record of someone else doing something very similar by the power of the Holy Spirit? So if those people that we read about in the Bible could work miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, we should be able to do that too, by the power of the same Holy Spirit, by the same filling of the Holy Spirit. But that brings me back to where we started. And let me remind you of something that John said a couple weeks ago. He was talking about how we don't have to be perfect people. But if we think that Christians have to be perfect, then one of the errors is to exclude ourselves from the category and say, well, I'm not perfect. I don't have to try. And so in his example, he was talking about people that don't come to church because Christians are supposed to be perfect and I don't measure up. But how about within the church and amongst faithful believers? Don't we commit the same error? Because we will somehow elevate those people who operated in the power of the Holy Spirit to some other category above common people by saying, oh, Jesus was God, or Paul was an apostle, or Elijah was a prophet. So of course they could do those things. But remember, the Holy Spirit came upon Elijah and Elisha, and they prophesied and performed miracles. The Holy Spirit did not come upon them because they were prophets. They were prophets because the Holy Spirit was upon them. So in the new covenant, the Holy Spirit is promised to all believers. The apostles were not the only ones present when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2. Paul and Peter had the same Holy Spirit that we have. Remember when we read in John 5:19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus did these things because he spent so much time with the Father, he could see what the Father was doing. And he did what the Father was doing. So if we don't see the same level of results in our lives, it's not because we're a human with a lower classification and unqualified to do the work. Maybe it's because we don't have the same level of relationship. But don't go, oh yeah, but he had that relationship because he was the Son of God. Because relationships can be developed. Relationships can be maintained. Relationships require time. And if you get busy through the week, like I do, because I work full time and I have other things to do, and you don't spend time sitting before the Lord, how are you going to hear him? There was a video, I think they showed it here. I was talking about, you know, the lady that wanted to get an answer from the Lord, and she gets up and she turns on the radio and she does her thing and she goes to work and she jogs and she's got her earbuds in and she, you know, and at the end of the day, well, did you get an answer from the Lord? No, nothing. We have to listen. We have to take time to listen. And the busier your mind is, the longer it takes to slow down enough to listen. Amen.